to be able to be here today to share the word of the Lord. And it's good to come and to look at the word of God, because the word of God is alive. The Bible says it's sharper than any two-edged sword, discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. And so the word of God is powerful. And today I was wanting to speak to you about destiny. And the scriptures I'm going to be speaking from is going to be from 1 John chapter 3. And we'll come to that in a moment. Destiny. I looked up what the dictionary says about destiny. And one of the dictionaries said this: the things that you will do, or the type of person that you will become in the future. Two things. The things that you will do, and the type of person that you're going to become. Now, I want to tell you that God has revealed destiny for you in Christ. In Christ Jesus, there is destiny. And when we look at that definition, God's destiny is to take a person who has been marred by sin, who's been in the pits of even hell itself, had the whole world against them, had the corruption of this world, and God's destiny is to lift you out of that pit. God's destiny is to cleanse you from all your sin and all your unrighteousness, and God's destiny is to make you a new creation, amen, clothed with the righteousness of God.
Yes.
And not only does God's destiny to affect your character and your life, but God's destiny is to give you purpose in life, because the Bible says God gives gifts unto men. He gives gifts unto men. And so God not only wants to change your character, but he wants to give gifts unto you so that you will fulfill the destiny that he has purposed for you. God's destiny for you is revealed in Christ. And it begins with a great revelation. And that revelation is that you are loved by God. No matter the condition you're in today, no matter what you have been experiencing in your life, no matter all the circumstances that you find yourself in due to this pandemic, the Bible says God loves you. God loves you. Your neighbours might not love you. You might have people around about you who do not love you. You might have family who disagree with you and are always contentious with you. But the Bible says God loves you. In fact, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So while we didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ, while we were living in our sin, while we were living for self, while we were caught up with the sin in this world, the Bible says Christ died for us. Christ died for us. And the Bible goes on further, because the Bible tells us the love that God has for us. When it says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so God has come and he's got destiny for you. And he wants you to realize that destiny begins when you come to the place when you realize God loves me. Even in the mess and the terrible condition of mine, even in my addictions, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, whether you're caught by pornography, whether you're caught by any type of addiction, the Bible says God loves you and he wants to set you free.
Yes.
It is the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse from all sin.
Yes.
To cleanse from all sin, to purge from all sin, and to clothe you with the righteousness of Christ. The Bible tells us there's only one way that we are going to stand before a holy God. And that is to stand in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have an old chorus that says, I am covered over by the righteousness that he gives us. And we stand complete in Christ, and we stand with the righteousness of Christ, and we can enter in boldly into the presence of the living God. And because of that, therefore we read in Luke 24:47 that the remission of sins is preached to everybody. It is preached to the nations. We preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the remission of sins. Your sins can be forgiven, you can be made whiter than snow, and that your past can be blotted out. Because God says, I remember them no more. You are reset to go on a journey. And I want to talk about that journey today. 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. It is God who came looking for us. Not us looking for God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is God who came looking for us.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a song that somebody wrote, and it says, I keep falling in love with him over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. And we keep falling in love with the Lord Jesus Christ because his love has been revealed to us. He has washed us by the power of his blood. He has cleansed us. And the guilt and the burden of sin has been rolled away. And we come and we stand complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in our text, 1 John chapter 3, beginning verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then he goes on to say, and every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. See, God is holy, God is pure, God is righteous. God dwells in the light. And when the light shines into the darkness, what happens? All the creepy crawlies come to the light. All the corruption is revealed. All goes on underhanded, but people think nobody sees. When God shines his light upon it, it all comes to the surface. Because God is light, and we dwell in the light. And we love him because he first loved us. But the verse 2 here, it says, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It's an interesting phrase, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It says, now. But the scripture tells us there's more than one category of sons of God. So let's look at what the scripture is now telling us about, because the scripture is really saying the people who are now the sons of God are a unique creation. There has never ever been before a creation like us who are loved by God. If we go to the phrase, the Bible, the phrase, the sons of God, well, you'll find it in the book of Job, chapter 38. And the Bible tells us at the foundation of the world, when God laid the foundation of the earth and God was bringing everything into being, that the sons of God were shouting for joy. In fact, we read in Job 38:7, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. The morning stars, we know who the stars are because Revelation tells us the stars of the seven churches. It's the angels, it's the choir, it's the host of heaven. And they've been led in worship, and they've been led in worship by the one who was created to lead all the worship, the son of the morning, who was Lucifer in the beginning, who was the cherubim over the throne of God, leading the worship of heaven and the glory of heaven. And they're all there, and as God is laying the foundations of the world, all of these angels and all of the host of heaven are gathered together. And the Bible says, and the sons of God shouted for joy. But one of the tragedies that we read in the scriptures, that some of these sons of God, a third of them, rebelled against the living God. And we read about them in Genesis chapter 6, which I don't want to go into today, but the Bible tells us that a third of them fell.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible also tells us some In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 3, Paul writes him and says, know that you're going to judge angels. Do you know that you're going to judge angels? That's something, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Here we've got the whole host of heaven. They're shouting for joy as God lays the foundations of the earth. And Paul says, but do you know that you're going to judge angels? But they're not the only sons of God. What about Israel? Exodus 4:22. Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. So Israel has a special place in the heart of God. The prophet Isaiah tells us, as long as the sun and the moon, everything is there, Israel will endure forever. And Hosea, the prophet, he wrote about the children of Israel, and he said, when Israel was a child, then I loved him, and I called my son out of Egypt. And one of the signs that you find in the Bible is always these double applications. Because there's someone else who was a son, and his name was Jesus, the Son of the living God. And the scripture says in Matthew 2:15, and there was until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we see, so in the scripture, we can look at sons of God, and they all have different definitions. They all have different purposes. And we come to our scripture, and then the scripture says, but now are you the sons of God? Now, you are the sons of God, but you're not the same as other sons of God. Paul writes to the church at Corinth and explains to them the change of identity that took place in the life when they came to know Christ as their Saviour and what happened at conversion. And he says, therefore, if a man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. So a person in Jesus Christ, all things pass away, they become a new creature, and the life of the Spirit of God comes into them. But watch, and this is why it comes to say, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should now be called the sons of God. And Peter talks about, and time passed. He said, we were not a people. And time passed, we were ignored. He said, but now we are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained mercy. And so the scripture says there's three great things. We're a new creation. We're adopted into God's family. And we're now called sons of God. And we have now obtained mercy before the throne of the living God. Now, one of the things which I want you to understand is that Calvary changes everything. Mm-hmm. You take an Old Testament saint, these Jewish people. They would go to the temple. They would sacrifice in the temple. They were redeemed. But when they died, the Bible says they went to paradise, also known as Abraham's bosom. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4 how when Jesus died and rose again from the dead, he said he led captivity captive and he brought them out. See, they were redeemed, but they could not be brought out until there was a blood sacrifice. And the blood, the Bible says, the blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. So they were redeemed, but their sin still had to be taken away. And the Bible says when the blood of Jesus Christ was shed, that blood, because it was God's blood and eternal blood, it took away sin. And so when Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible said he emptied paradise and these saints arose with him. And so Calvary is a demarcation where something which happened in the past was limited, change after Calvary. Because what happened, we now read in Corinthians 4:4 about the God of this world who blinds the minds of them which believe not, less the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. And what does it say about Jesus, who is the image of the living God? Jesus Christ is the image of the living God that should shine unto the people. See, people before this time, they had the image of Adam. And Adam all died. But as Jesus walked, and as Jesus and people looked upon Jesus, what they were seeing was the image of the living God. And so therefore, the scriptures now tells us in 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son of God has life. And he that doesn't have the Son of God doesn't have life. And Romans 8:29 says, for whom he did foreknow, he did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. So the Bible is saying, Jesus Christ is the image of the living God. And when we get converted and we come to that place where we recognize that we are a sinner before the Holy God and our sin is washed out and cleansed and we are born again by the Spirit of God and become a new creation, the Bible says God's purpose for us is that we should now be conformed into the image of Christ. That we should now be conformed into the image of the Son of the living God. But note what it says. He that hath the Son hath life. So the life that you get when you get born again is a life that comes from Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Now you think about this. Mm-hmm. In the beginning, what did we read about in the garden? There is a tree of life. What did we read about in the end of the book of Revelation? There is a tree of life. And there are people who need to eat of that tree of life for eternal life. But you're what? But one who has Christ does not have to eat of that tree. And so when Paul says, now are we the sons of God, he is telling us a secret and a revelation that has been hidden from other people, because our eternal life comes from Christ.
Yes.
Our eternal life, see, it's Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Yes.
All the Old Testament saints, they all had different experiences with God. Some knew the presence of God coming upon them. Some of them had the Holy Spirit, Moses, some were prophets, but they all had different experiences. But when it comes to after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, everyone who is born again by the Spirit of the living God has the Spirit of Christ in them. No exceptions. Born again by the Spirit of God, and the Bible says, what Christ in us, the hope of glory. The Spirit of Christ dwells in every single believer. And because the Spirit of Christ dwells in every single believer, then every single believer has the potential to enter into destiny that God has for them. Because what happens when that life of Christ comes into you? When that life of Christ comes into you, you have everything that is needed, because God then starts to work in your character life so that the fullness of the image of the living God and the character of Jesus is starts to get worked in your life. That's why the scripture says we go from glory to glory until his face we see. We're not supposed to be stagnant. We're not supposed to be staying where we are, but we are supposed to be getting changed more and more into the likeness of the living God. And we go from glory to, and it's possible because in us is the Spirit of Christ. Every single believer has that Spirit in them. So every single believer no longer has to look back, but he can put their eyes fixed on Jesus and say, I have destiny. And the Spirit of God that is now in me makes it possible for me to achieve that destiny. So we don't need access to us, because God, through Jesus Christ, has given us eternal life. He that hath the Son hath life. We have eternal life through the Son. And so we are a category of sons of God that never existed before, because our life is directly associated with Jesus Christ, and God's purpose and destiny is that our lives get changed so that we become like Jesus. To become like Jesus. And this is a great thing that God has done for us. Read the scripture a bit earlier on, Peter. We were once a people with no hope. We were once a people far off. But now Christ coming by His Spirit, is drawing us to Himself and birthed in us is the life of God. Now that life of God is birthed in us. We understand that there's a parallel. How do we develop? Well, the parallel given in the Scriptures, just as in the natural, so in the Spirit. In the natural, you start off with the milk. The Bible says, in the Spirit, you start off with the milk of the Word. There is progression into maturity, but also as you come into maturity, in the natural, as a child grows up, they mature, and they come to the place where they get an inheritance. They come to a place where they're entrusted with things. And so in the Spirit, we get the milk of the Word, we move on from the milk to things which are stronger, and the Bible says God gives gifts unto men. He gives ministries, He gives gifts. There's callings upon people's life because God has destiny for each one. And God allows people to go through experiences which can be rough. But He takes you through these experiences and anoints you so that when you go to minister to people in these conditions, you know what they're going through and you have the power and the authority to minister to them and see them getting delivered in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
See, this happened with Jesus. When Jesus came, the Bible says God became flesh and dwelt amongst us. That means that everything in life, from growing up, from being a baby, growing up through childhood, being into your youth, into adulthood, everything that you experience in life, Jesus Christ, the Bible says, He experienced it all. And He was tempted just like people. So He knows everything that we go through. That's why He can minister to us. And He allows people to go through the same circumstances so that they can minister His grace to others. See, the goodness of God leads people to repentance. And we have the life of Christ in us. And we have that life bubbling up. And so when the Bible says, now are you the sons of God, you are a different breed of any other category it's been before. They all have a different place, or different functions. But we have eternal life because Christ gives us eternal life. And so God has got a high calling on each person. And He's telling us, I have given you the ability to develop and to grow and fulfill your destiny. I have given you the life of My Spirit for you to develop in your life and to pursue after the things of God so that you will come into your destiny. And not only that, when we become born again by the Spirit of the living God, we are now the sons of God and we have authority. Because God gives us authority. He said to His disciples, go. He said, and in My name. So we use the name of Jesus. But the Bible also says, it's not only authority you need, but you need power. It's okay having authority, but if you don't have the power to carry it out, it's not good enough. So that's why in John 24, it says, and Jesus speaking to the disciples, He says, I send the promise of My Father upon you, but tarry in Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. It is a prerequisite in the Christian life that Christians need to be endued with power from on high. You need to be endued because being endued gives you power to carry out the authority that you have. You need that power to enforce the authority over every single demonic element, over the devils, over the principalities and powers. They are brought down by the word of God and the power and authority we have. And many times I've spoken about the Apostle Paul when he's been in Ephesus. And Ephesus was a great city. And Ephesus had the worship of Diana. And that had gone on for a long, long time. And the people would all get all the things made by the blacksmiths and the silversmiths, all the way up, and they would go and they would worship Diana. But there was a day that Apostle Paul came to that place. And that man was anointed with the Holy Ghost. He had authority, but he also had power. And when the sick were brought to him, he started to minister to them. When the people had all categories of diseases and spirits to be dealt with, the Apostle Paul started to deal with them, casting out devils, healing the sick. What happened? The power that was released in the miracles and the signs and wonders took down the temple of Diana. Who wants to go to a place with all your religious formats and there's no power? But when Paul preached, the power of God was released. And so the Bible says you have to wait to be endued with power. And you have to wait because you've got to cast out devils. You've got to speak in new tongues. We speak in tongues. Why? Because it edifies ourselves. The Bible tells us about it. Because it's our spirit that speaks to God's spirit. And that's one of the reasons for it. And so the Bible says you cast out devils. And one of the things you know about the New Testament, if you read through it, the first time they ever claimed that the kingdom of God had come is when they started seeing devils getting cast out. And it's right there in Mark 16, 17, before talking about laying hands on the sick, it says, cast out devils. Cast out devils, speak in tongues. Lay your hands on the sick and they shall recover. It is the destiny and purpose of God that his children, when they are born again by the Holy Spirit, start to cultivate the life of God that is in them and seeking the face of God and starting to mature so that God will be able to release unto them the gifts and the anointings and the power to carry out his plan and purposes on earth. We are coming to a place where we walk in the authority of God, but we also walk in the power of God. And we need the authority and we need the power. Authority is not good if we don't have the power to enforce it. But God never leaves us high and dry. He says, be endued with power. And the destiny that people have is to fulfill what God has laid out for you. Because God's purpose is that they brings in salvation and deliverance, not just to people, but to nations. Because Psalm 2 talks about, ask of me for the nations. God's purposes is that the nations get set free from the demonic realm and the principalities and power. God's purposes is that his people get raised up to be the vessels and the conduits that releases his power into the lives of others. And so when we come to our destiny, the things that you will do. Back to the definition for the things that you will do. What things are you going to do? See, you can do great exploits. The scriptures talk about the possibility to do great exploits. And how do we do them? We do them through Christ. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ in us is, because we're a new creation, we have the potential to reach into that new destiny. And it's a person you will become. A man, a woman, a child of the living God. See, age doesn't matter when it comes to the things of God. Samuel was just a young boy when he was in the temple when God spoke to him. Age is irrelevant. God takes the youngest, he takes the oldest, and he takes everybody in between. The calling of God on people's lives. And God's spirit is to draw you and say, come. See, Jesus said it in the Gospels. He says, come. Follow me. It is time to come and realize what your destiny is. And the fullness of that destiny transpires away past this life. Mm-hmm. See, when you become like Christ, the Bible also says one day you're going to get a body like Jesus Christ's body. Mm-hmm. What like was that body? Well, we know from Scripture, when the disciples were in the upper room, when they were hiding from the people, when they're trying to process all that had happened after Jesus being crucified, that Jesus walked through the walls into the midst. They said, behold my hands and my feet. The resurrected body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our destiny as we go from earth into glory. So this morning, as we just come to a close, you have destiny upon your life. You have destiny on your life. But the Bible says the thief comes to steal, to destroy, and to kill. And today, don't let that thief come. Don't let that thief deprive you of the calling of God upon your life. Don't let the thief come so that you miss the day of visitation in your life. Don't let the thief deprive you of the purposes where God has created you for. The destiny that God has for you. See, God has got great things. And this is the time to shrug off all the things that have been happening around and say, who is on the throne? The Lord Jesus Christ is on the throne. He reigns with power and authority. And he will never be dislodged from his place of authority and of power. All our breath, if God like that, he could take away the breath of everybody in a moment of time. In him we live and move. He is the giver of life. And the giver of life is saying, come. You can now be a son of God, born by the Holy Spirit, a new creation whose life comes from the very Son of God himself, who is the image of the living God. So that that image of the living God will now be in you. And that you will grow and develop, and that you will come into maturity, and that you will fulfill the destiny that God has for you. The calling of God upon your life. Today, won't you come? Today, will you just cast aside all the distractions? The pandemic is just a distraction. God is still on the throne. It's time your attention was caught with God and what he is doing. So let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we now pray for the quickening of the Holy Spirit upon everyone who is watching, everyone who is listening. Father, if we don't know you as Lord and Saviour and have never discovered that place of forgiveness of sins, Father, we just pray that you'll minister into them and that they will call upon the Lord Jesus Christ now. And for those of your people, Father, we now ask that where they are, that the presence of God will come. And we ask, Father, that the sword of the Spirit, Father, as we take that sword, we'll cut off these hindrances. Cut off of your people these distractions. And Father, that your people would be quickened by your Holy Spirit. That their eyes now would be fixed on Jesus. And let a determination come into their being, Father. Let this fire of God come into their very bones. That they will be determined to keep their eyes fixed on Jesus. And to pursue their destiny. So that the Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified in them and through them. In Jesus' name. So today we just bless you. And we're now going to continue singing. And we're going to just come round the Lord's table.
Praise God. It's so good to be.